University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, is Professor Beth Oljar.
Greetings.
Greetings and salutations. I just caught on with your cool Ethics Bowl t-shirt that it's not just the classics, but they're all wearing like cool sunglasses.
They're all
and
wearing
stuff.
Shades, yeah.
It's the 80s meets the whatever era those people are from.
Sure.
Well,
I don't know, when was Bentham? Bentham was sort of colonial times?
19th century.
Yeah, okay.
18...
Okay. Something.
Well, he's still stuffed and presides over board meetings at the University of London. They wheel him out of a cabinet so
that's
he can preside.
Kant is 18th century and Aristotle is B.C.
You know,
BCE, sorry.
I've mentioned this before, but I'll be honest. I know my philosophy very well, but sometimes I cannot connect it to the minds that generated it. So I'm very thankful for having watched Lost for 9 seasons because everybody on that show was named after famous philosophers, which I think is kind of a cool thing to remember.
What? Except for the show made no sense.
Well, yeah, but I love that show.
I love the show, too.
Yeah.
It was no Gilligan's
Island. Yeah, no 3-hour tour.
Wait. Roy, your meter stick is Gilligan's Island.
No, that's everyone's meter stick, isn't it?
Actors like Bob Denver.
I watched the first season or 2 seasons of Lost, and then I just like, they have no idea where this is going.
It's so funny because I didn't pick it up until the 3rd season, so you and I did a single replacement. I think Bentham is cool, and he's also cool on your t-shirt. And I would have expected Aristotle to have the 80s glasses with the little shades on them.
Yeah.
You know, the little...
But Kant is the best. I mean, for one thing, the notion of Kant wearing shades. I could see Aristotle wearing shades or whatever the Greek equivalent was. Kant, not so much.
Not so much.
No. Kant wearing anything decorative
visor.
Would be sort of counter
wearing a visor.
No.
Yeah.
Philosophical.
Visor, like
a poker player. Yeah, like a poker player. Yeah, exactly.
But they should have had Mill, John Stuart Mill, instead of Bentham.
Yes.
Okay. A better utilitarian and has other great ones.
Well, a more realistic utilitarian.
Beats Julian Mills. So.
True.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
As always. We're glad to have you here, too.
No complaints.
Who is your philosophy dream team? I'm trying to think of.
I don't know. I get all my philosophy from like fortune cookies. I keep it simple. You know, just crack open a fortune cookie.
That'll work.
Or Magic 8-Ball.
Magic 8-Ball.
Magic 8-Ball works. Good. And actually, my wife and I, because I will occasionally have students badgering me at all hours of the day and night. We've actually thought about launching the website Chowgle, where you can just type in a question, hit the answer button, it comes up like Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah. Ooh,
have you thought about using Helvetica?
That's a good idea.
You know. Think about blue. Make it larger.
It's very interesting you bring that up. I think it was last night on Twitter, Conan O'Brien sent something out to the effect of, you know, I'm spending quality time with my kids, and basically said, while I'm watching, like, Finding Bigfoot, they asked me what life and death were all about, so I told them to Google it.
Like, why not? It answers everything.
Have you with had reality that question TV. Yet? From
life and death?
Joe?
Probably. No, I haven't had that
or
question
Or where do
yet.
Babies come from?
Oh, Who Lordy.
No? I think I've mentioned on this show before that my 10-year-old, about the last year, said, Dad, someone said the other day that I look like you. How is that possible? And I was just
cloning.
Like, oh, man.
You remember Ask Star your mother? Wars? Remember yeah. that usually?
3 letters, DNA.
DNA, yeah. Someone's in the kitchen.
Yeah, see the scar on my back?
Exactly.
You're going to do the ask your mother.
Possibly.
Sort of
depends on who's
Matt,
home
as long
point.
As you don't, just don't send your kids down the block to me because I'm liable to draw it for them. Okay, so.
It's Professor Dan Maggio.
Wow, we
it's
have like, a late arrival here.
Put a T next to his name, but he's here.
Dan, it's good to have you here.
Thank you. Apparently, I can't talk.
It's okay.
You're in Atlantic time. That's all. It's all good. You're
he can
having,
teach
you're having
Calc 3, but he can't tell time.
Yeah.
Look how much hair you have in those pictures, dude.
Yeah. Oh, my. Let's move on to Professor Roy Finkenbein here from history. Good to have you here, Roy.
Well, I think my favorite philosopher has to be Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, okay. Of course. You're making another Gilligan's Island reference indirectly.
Well, it's only by reference to Bob Denver.
Bob Denver. Oh, my gosh.
Maynard G. Krebs was on.
Wait, is that? Oh, I know the show.
Dobie Gillis.
Yes.
He was the beatnik. He was the TV version of a 50s beatnik.
Yep.
Yep. Very, very cool.
Cool.
You rang.
Cool.
That's Lurch, isn't it?
You rang.
Professor Diane Manica is here with us from Education.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I won't ask you about the philosopher, not because I don't think you have one, but because it's
well,
be
I'll go with Piaget, who is not a philosopher.
Okay.
But I'll go with Piaget.
Jean Wait, isn't that a brand of wine?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You're talking about pedagogical methods, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Stages of developmental psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And last but most certainly not least, Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Howdy.
How are you doing?
Good.
You have a lot of things in your courses that rely directly on philosophy.
Yeah.
So if you had a favorite.
I think probably W.D. Rawls, maybe.
Oh, okay.
See, yeah.
Beth was talking.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Beth over here swooning.
He gets it right. Oh. Yep. I mean, Ross is correct about moral theory.
Okay. Well, while you guys think about moral theory for a moment, I'm going to say this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And starting right now, 1, 2, 3, now, if you stump the panel, you're going to win one of our autographed photographs, too. You can send us the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 with your question set. Please don't just send us one question. Send us 1 million questions. Or
well,
you can send the questions.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
USPS. To the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Dear Ask the Professors.
Professors.
Plural.
The last time I sent in questions, they were composed on a ferry ride across the Strait of Juan de Fuca to Victoria, British Columbia. Oh, yes.
Another
I had hoped
weather.
To have composed
Beautiful
25 more
be.
Questions upon the return trip. But failed to do so. All I could do was come up with 16 questions that I thought were worthy of sending in. I tried to at least edit some of my questions, as I know some of the more infantile ones would easily get answered, and the really infantile ones would probably derail the entire show. Please enjoy the questions as much as I have in compiling them.
Yeah.
Amy Dixon has sent us a number of questions.
Thank you,
in the
Amy.
Past.
Amy.
Send more.
Don't
much.
Ever worry about derailing the show.
Yeah, we'll do it
yeah.
just
we
fine
do it.
Without
we do
your
it
help.
Regularly,
yes.
So.
Pretty unbelievable. Okay, so that's the one from the Pacific Northwest, I'm assuming, if she's going to BC.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at the map here, but we don't have that much of Canada.
Seattle? Port Angeles? So is this that gal?
Where's the strait?
There's a little close-up of Seattle up there.
Ah, there it is.
A little inset.
There you go. Perfect.
There's Amy.
Oh, my God.
She's waving to us.
Which U.S. president was the first to have a woman serve on his cabinet?
Franklin
FDR.
Roosevelt.
FDR. It was FDR, and
Francis
everybody
Perkins.
Hit it right
Secretary
on.
Of Labor.
Labor,
oh, okay.
Right?
I just want to make sure what she was serving, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not to be confused with Warren G. Harding, who had women serve in a whole different...
yeah.
Is that the drinks that Professor Chow was about to order?
Passion Pit.
Passion Pit.
Wow.
And he didn't even have Johnny Mack.
Sometimes it was simply his presidential desk.
Oh, my word.
Flo caught him one time, according
to...
Oh,
no.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Oh,
Versaging well, Bill Clinton.
Did away with it in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
How many stars are there on the flag of Australia?
Where's the Australian map
seven.
In here when we need it?
There are not seven. There's less.
Five.
There's not five. There's more.
Six.
Six.
I'm guessing the seven would include the Northern Territory. Is that it?
Well, it says six because
state.
That's the number of states there are in Australia. But yeah, I don't know if they include
the
Northern
Territory.
They're big
states.
They are big states. Yes, they are. Frankly, I don't even know if they call them states, but it's the best analogy.
They do.
They do? What does the J stand for in LL Cool J?
James.
James, his name.
Cool
Lady
James.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got it. They do love him. What TV show had physicist Dr. Sam Beckett as its main character?
Oh, you mentioned this a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Matt mentioned this.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say if you had to...
What about time travel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was
Dean Jones. No, Dean,
Quantum Leap.
Yes. Quantum Leap.
With Dean Stanton.
Yep. I recognize the name.
I was like
Sam Beckett. That was Dean Stanton was the other guy. Sam Beckett was. Christ,
was
what's
the jumper.
His name? Yeah, but what's the actor's name?
He was on Star Trek. Star Trek Enterprise captain. Scott Bakula.
Yeah, I just said it. I was just about to say Count Chocula.
Scott Bakula. It's all the same to you.
That's Charles Krauthammer, the columnist for the Washington Post, looks exactly like Count Chocula.
Really?
Just about that smart. Oh,
wow. Who except said he's got Count a scowl. Chocula's dumb?
I'll take Count Chocula for political commentary.
Yeah, me too. Yes.
Which two characters on The Simpsons live in Spinster City apartments?
Oh, the sisters.
Oh, Patty Marges? And Selma.
Patty and Selma Bouvier live there. Okay. Absolutely. Terwilliger Bouvier. According to Greek mythology, who was the only spirit, what was the only spirit, that remained in Pandora's box?
Whiskey.
Correct.
No.
No.
Hope.
Hope was the only thing humankind had left. That is right. Everything else got released. Let's see. Oh, my. Is this topic becoming a trend on your show? What was the first American film to feature flatulence prominently?
It was probably Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is what it says here. Yeah, sure. That
was the blazing.
I mean, was there a flatulence that was not prominent in the other movie? I'm trying to think.
I don't remember that.
That's
in, like,
campfire
giant.
Scene, yes, was the dividing line in American film.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was the edited scenes from Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
Okay, we've properly derailed this one.
No, you did.
Oh, sorry.
Which U.S. First Lady was the first to be accused of murder?
Probably Flo Hardy.
It was not.
Jim just accused her.
Thought of murder. Not attempted murder, but actual murder.
Really?
Accused of murder.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? Jackson's wife? Andrew Jackson's
wife?
It was
not Jackson's. Nope.
Can't be Martha Washington.
No, it was not Martha Washington. A little bit later than that.
Okay, can't be Dolly Madison.
So did anybody die of
Adams?
Questionable circumstances?
Abigail Adams?
No, not
I'm
Adams.
I'm guessing somebody from the old days.
Mary Lincoln.
Nope, it was not Mary Todd. Although that kind of would have...
Tyler's wife.
Not Tyler, but maybe Taylor.
Taylor, oh.
It says here that Margaret Taylor was accused of murdering Zachary. She refused to have him embalmed. And that made people double-check themselves and wonder if she had poisoned him.
Oh, well, they did dig up his body just a few years ago to see if there was, like, arsenic or something.
Well, there you go. Mm. But there wasn't.
I don't know.
What was the result
about that?
Well,
gastrointestinal problems, but mercury
in his system.
Oh, wow. The White House was called the President's Palace until this president sat atop our government. Who was he?
Lincoln.
Not Lincoln.
No.
Since it was quite a bit later than that. It was the first president to call it the White House.
Hmm. Oh, Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, 1901. Yep. It's kind of interesting. You sort of think when he was walking around that they would have called it the palace, but
a log cabin.
Only Nixon could go to China, you know? That's what they say. What is the hottest planet in the solar system?
Mercury.
Mercury.
It's not, actually.
Then Venus.
It's Venus. It's got to be one of the first three, right? Venus actually has a cloudy atmosphere, which holds in the heat and makes it even hotter. Mm. Instead of just being a burned out crisp like... Mercury is.
Global warming.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, we'll invent some big space dust buster to suck up all
darn right.
CO2.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's about the... Yeah.
Wait, you're working on that? Was that what it's
doing? Remember, we own the moon.
She's thinking about it.
Space dust buster. I thought we already had that. It's a space shuttle. They look kind of the same.
I stole that from Bill Maher.
It's nice. What unique feature does the Haskell Free Library and Opera House have?
It's not free.
Books?
No, and no.
The Haskell Free
and also no.
Library and Opera House?
Yes. I'm going to guess if I had to say so.
No seats?
And this might be able to help you just a little bit.
Is it all digital?
No. Mm. That it's in possibly Minnesota? Vermont? It's
made of ice?
Maine?
No.
No? It's really weird. And I've heard about things like this before. Any fans of... CGP Gray's videos online will know that this is something that features prominently.
It's in two cities?
Ah, very close, but not two cities.
Two states?
Not two states.
Two countries.
Two different countries. The audience sits in the U.S. and the actors perform on a stage in Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, lovely.
Isn't that wild? And while you think about that brain buster, we'll take a break. And we're back with some great questions from Amy Dixon. Let's see what we got cooking here. Number 12. From what classic TV show was Canned Laughter recorded from?
I Love Lucy.
Not I Love Lucy.
Milton Berle.
Not Milton Berle.
Yeah, it was Honeymooners. Nope.
I'm guessing this is classic, like the very nascency of television.
Show of shows, Sid Caesar?
Red Skelton?
Red Skelton is what it says here, but there's always some sort of original form of that stuff.
Were any of the rest of you surprised like I was when Sid Caesar died? Because I didn't know he was still alive.
Well, his career had.
I was surprised when Harold Ramis died.
Yeah, yeah, that was.
How old was he? He was only like 58? 50-something?
69, I thought.
No, I think 61.
41? 46.
No, he's older than that, yeah. He's older than I am.
But he went before his time, and he had some serious health problems, very serious health problems. Egon, you will be missed. That's all I've got to say.
Marty and I can conduct entire conversations in lines from Harold.
Okay, Williams. Everybody think of your best memory from your childhood.
I frequently say to Marty, this reminds me of the time you tried to put a pole through your head. And he says, that would have worked if you hadn't stopped me.
He was 69 when he passed away, Harold Ramis. Really? Yes. Right on. I just think that when I look back, probably within reason, the combination of Ghostbusters and Back to the Future is the beginning of modern geek culture. I don't think there was anything before that. It wasn't hardcore, you know, like sci-fi catching on. I mean, Star Wars hadn't caught on yet. You know, everybody liked it, but it wasn't
pervasive. I was Star Wars.
Tron?
Nope, only one.
I don't
once.
Think liking Tron yeah. made you cool back
or,
in the day.
Or Logan's Run?
Mm-mm.
I don't think liking Logan's Farrah Run
Fawcett made
you
was the only
cool
thing worthwhile.
You know what I mean? Like, it caught on and everybody loved it so that therefore it was okay.
Yeah,
Star Wars. Does that make sense? Back off, man, I'm a scientist, you know?
Yeah. Well, but Harold Ramis didn't need sort of science geek culture to...
No, not at all.
House and Caddyshack. No. But yes, back off, man, I'm a scientist. Yeah. And I study mold, spores, and fungus.
I know. I was just waiting for someone to say all the other lines that we know. My personal favorite... okay, I forgot to tell you guys, don't cross the streams. Why? Well, that
would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on good and bad. Can you let us know? Imagine every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light. Okay, thanks for the safety tools. That's one of my favorites. Sorry. What was the last letter added to the modern English alphabet?
Z?
Wasn't Z. No, that would have made sense.
Yeah, the 26th.
But in terms of, not in terms of the order supplied. But
last letter added to the
modern. F.
It was not F.
H.
It's not H.
K?
No, there's a very logical reason why this would have been the last one.
Q?
Because in Latin, Jehovah begins with an I.
I?
It's not I.
No, J then.
J. It's J. You didn't need a J. You had I.
And in what movie is that line from?
Last Crusade.
Indiana Jones.
Fantastic
movie.
Very good.
So many good movies to talk about. What Winter Olympic sport has the fastest moving humans?
Downhill skiing.
Yeah, it says downhill skiers. They can move up to 96.6 miles per hour.
Yep. How fast?
Miles?
Yeah.
Or kilometers.
Yeah.
Right really? Up until miles. They hit that tree.
Yep. What is the fastest object in the Winter Olympics?
The bullet in the biathlon.
The bullet in the biathlon, yeah. It's straight up. I had to chuckle because the news reports are out. You know, the Paralympics finally started 1 week after, and Paralympians are also being locked in their bathrooms. So we like nice to see that Sochi is equal opportunity for all kinds of Olympians. Pretty sad. Very, very sad. Because of the 19th Amendment, who was the first U.S. president to have his mother, supposedly because of secret balloting, vote for him?
Harding?
Wasn't Harding.
FDR.
FDR, it says here, was the first to have because of secret balloting. Boy, is that
odd. Can you imagine if your mom didn't vote for you?
I don't know. But what was the 19th Amendment was term limiting? Is that right?
No, 19th Amendment
no, it was women's vote.
Yeah. So of course, that makes perfect sense. I'm behind here.
Around 1920.
No.
So the beginning of his term.
Yeah.
Right. But I believe, therefore...
Just in
what
time to elect Harding. There was a big female vote for Harding.
The secret balloting they're referring to the history professor, must be that women possibly did vote leading up to that amendment. It just would have been a secret ballot.
Well, there was all sorts of funny business in the 19th century in local elections. That Blacks makes sense. Voted despite laws prohibiting, right. you know, their right.
Well, I'm glad we fixed those issues.
Absolutely. During the 19th...
We don't have funny things in local
no,
elections.
No.
Not at all.
Nope.
No.
Not
no.
in Chicago.
No.
No. Now, actually, what we've done is make it more sophisticated. Diebold.
During the 50s, Charles Lindbergh traveled the world. Detroiter Charles Lindbergh traveled the world as a representative of what airline company?
Pan Am?
Pan Am is what it says here. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Long before TV catches on, I suppose, or maybe right about the time.
Traveling
TV
the world
on.
Promoting American isolationism.
I still remember. Was it
then he became isolated yeah. on yeah. Maui, down in Hana, which oh. hard to get to.
Did he do that on purpose?
That's where he wanted to be left alone. Wanted to be away from
was
people.
Was like Greta Garbo?
I wanted to be alone.
And well, was not that big on being alone. But
he didn't particularly like the public spotlight. And then, of course, after their baby was...
So he moved to a place that it really is a pain to get to.
This is the second or third Hawaiian reference today, Jim. So you know a lot about Maui, don't you?
Well, like I would like Island. To be there right now.
Sometime. Right now.
Nice.
Great beaches.
Yes. We have another set of questions here, profs. That was all that Amy Dixon had for us, and those were great.
Those were awesome.
Send more.
Thanks, Amy.
Because those were great.
More ferry rides.
Take some more ferry rides. Yeah.
Go back and forth.
Do it on us. Give them our picture when you get it in the mail. See if that gets you anywhere. The following questions are based on The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. These are written by Vivian Dix, our executive producer.
Ooh.
Oh. So.
The questions.
We got to do it.
I love Tom Sawyer.
We've all read The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Not me.
No, not since
ever.
The lovely Becky Thatcher.
We've met Aunt Polly and recall the incident of whitewashing the fence. How much of the other people and events in that book do we recall? That is the question. See if any of the following bring back memory. So you're our control experiment, Beth. If you've never actually read the book, then maybe popular culture can help you through this.
Or I could just
bomb.
Be quiet.
Yeah, Beth and I will be over here playing Cat's Cradle right about now, okay?
Wait, you've never read it either?
No!
Oh, okay.
I saw the cartoon.
This is classic American... Oh, I get it.
Thank you.
I haven't read 1984 or Brave New World or... Wow. What happens when you drop out of high school?
I think every major dystopian novel we had to read in high school. I don't know why.
I left high school.
It's true.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
Who's Tom's younger half-brother? What's his name?
Little Tommy?
Oh, no. Nope.
Oh, boy.
Mini-me.
Beth and I were.
These questions are
for
two.
Pop culture might help.
I know. These questions are so precise, she's giving me the page from the proper 1922 Harper's correspondence.
She was awfully bored.
I think she was working in core curriculum stuff when this broke out.
Roy, you mentioned a very, very famous... very, very old entertainer who just passed away. Sid. Same first name. Sid. Was Tom's younger half-brother.
I don't remember that.
For a moment, I clarified first name.
Okay, yeah. For a moment, I thought it was Dobie Gillis.
Tom's church awards children who memorize biblical verses. 2 verses is a blue ticket. 10 blue tickets is a red ticket. 10 red tickets earns a yellow ticket. And for 10 yellow tickets, there was a special award. How many verses, therefore, did a child have to memorize to earn the special award? Dan?
Is it 2,000?
Let's see. 2 verses is a blue. 10 blues is a red. 10 reds is a yellow. 10 yellows was the prize.
So 2 times 10 times 10 times 10.
2,000. That is correct. Do you remember what the award was?
A trip to the Wonka factory.
No.
Oh. Probably a Bible.
Probably a Bible, yeah.
It was a Bible worth about 40 cents. Makes perfect. I mean, why would you give them a Bible if they've already memorized so much of it? It doesn't make any sense.
I like the trip to the Wonka factory better.
Well, yeah, that would have made sense too.
Augustus Gloop.
Well, there's stuff besides the verses, right?
Yeah. There's little maps.
Yeah.
And the gatefold.
Tom trades, collects, and generally finagles to get those 10 yellow tickets. Upon being awarded his Bible, he's asked to demonstrate his wisdom by naming the first 2 of Jesus' disciples. Who does he respond? This is the greatest part of the whole book. Because this Tom, I don't know, Mark Twain just speaks to me because he's such a cranky old man. And it shows up in every one of his books, and this is a great example. What did Tom say when someone said,
Who were the first two disciples?
He would have wanted to answer, right? He would have
Laurel and Hardy.
Tom was very mischievous in wanting
Andrew
to...
And
no, actually...
Two people who were very, almost always, paired together in the Bible as part of their Bible
Cain
story.
Cain and Abel?
Not Cain and Abel.
Adam and Eve?
Not Adam and Eve.
Alphonse and Gaston?
No. Alphonse. It was David and Goliath.
Oh,
so David and Goliath.
It's such a great line. Oh, I love that. Does I mean, that's that, timeless
he,
comedy.
He
right
uses
there.
That line in other books?
No, it's just that he, I mean, you can sort of look at it as a very stodgy story, you know, but I think Twain was just, he was there to tell a story and doing it in the funniest way that he could. You know, I think that that's cool.
A lot
cool.
of sarcasm underlying.
Yes, yeah. Tons of sarcasm.
Just a little.
It's downright subversive. The book is subversive in my world. When Tom complains of pain from a loose tooth, Aunt Polly automatically, unceremoniously pulls it out. This gives Tom a new skill, much admired by the other boys. Do you remember what that skill was?
Could squirt water.
Yeah, you could spit really, really well. Or as Dr. Dix lists here, he could expectorate.
Wow.
Exactly.
Has maps.
Some of the Bibles have maps. Little maps. My Bible had a map when I was in high school.
I had a Bible with
maps. The words of Jesus in red.
Yeah.
I've seen those before, too. It kind of creeps me out.
Jefferson had a Bible in which we just cut out all the
any evidence of Jesus' divinity
I got the
or
boring
miracles
Bible.
Or whatever.
No maps was my mom's.
I got
no
GPS.
Maps? Really?
Oh. Huh. GPS. Who put GPS in it?
You are approximately 5,000 miles from
You are here.
Yeah, let's bring that to the book of Exodus. And see
oh, my God.
Yeah, you can watch where Noah's little ship just kind of swerves all over the place.
40-year bit.
You don't want a Levitical GPS.
Tom trades that newly removed tooth to Huckleberry Finn for what desirable bug in a percussion cap box?
A cricket?
He really wanted a bug. Not a cricket.
Bug.
Not a
ladybug.
Not a ladybug.
A bug.
Toad.
One that would have been found probably by attaching itself to somebody.
A leech?
A caterpillar?
Nope.
A tick.
A tick. He really wanted a tick.
Oh, gee.
And he got it by trading his tooth. Okay. That's what all little boys do, right? You remember, Adam, the first time you traded your teeth for bugs? Those were the days.
We used to have problems just remembering the quarters. And, you know, kid loses their tooth any time during the day, and somehow you have to remember at night to do the exchange under their pillow. And we weren't always good about that. And Michael, I remember especially, the tooth fairy didn't leave anything. Well, they have a busy route. Lots of places to stop.
Just
try it again. Yeah. Sometimes it's two or three nights before they get to
check your PayPal account in the morning.
I'm sorry, it was dimes.
Oh my gosh. When Tom first meets Becky Thatcher at school, he gives her a gift. Do you remember what the gift was?
Hopefully not the tick.
A tick. Yellow tickets.
No.
None of those?
Not a tick.
A tick?
A magic bean.
Not a magic bean. It was a fruit.
An apple.
Well, yeah, like I said, a
sort
bean.
Of a classically southern fruit.
A peach?
A peach, yes.
Tomato.
With that peach of an ending, we're going to have to say goodbye, Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Manica.
Bye now.
Professor Tubbs. Oh, I'm sorry.
Again? He already said goodbye.
No,
how many times can you say
goodbye? Going in the wrong direction. Professor Finkenbein, save me. Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
Sure, see you.
Professor Oljar.
Later.
And now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.